Jean, you want to open us in prayer, please?
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to come together, to come before you, Lord, as we study your word, that you would, by your Holy Spirit, give us insight and guidance. And Father, that you would help us to share easily what you have already shared with us, and that we might learn from one another. And we just pray your blessings on this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Jean. Okay, now, we're missing a couple of ladies tonight, but that's all right. I have notes that I meant to share with you last week from our study the week before. On shaken, there's another place the word shaken is that I don't remember if we had in that particular study. It's in Psalms, and it's Psalm 15:5. I don't think we did have it there, but Psalm 15:5 for shaken. It's just such a good one, and it popped out. Wrong reference. Oh, wait a minute. Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live in your holy hill? He whose walk is blameless and who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from his heart and has no slander on his tongue, who does his neighbor no wrong and casts no slur on his fellow man, who despises a vile man but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps his oath even when it hurts, who lends his money without usury and does not accept a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things will never be shaken.
Amen.
That's good.
So that's Psalm 15, verses 1 to 5. It's actually the whole psalm. And if you'll remember last week when we were talking, one of the references, the topic last week was, who remembers?
Comfort.
That's right, comfort. We were looking at 2 Corinthians 1, 6. 2 Corinthians 1, 6. I just make these notes. I promise I'm going to come back to you and tell you what I found, and so I'm following up this week. 2 Corinthians 1, and it says in 6, if we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And I mentioned that I wondered if that word endurance was the same as the word perseverance that we studied some time ago. That was hupomene. Remember
that?
Hupomene. Right, to remain under. And it is. That word endurance there is the same word. So that was really exciting to me. The reason I thought it is because it says that we are comforted and that produces patient endurance in us. So that endurance is a process, you know, it doesn't just pop up there like perseverance that we had
That's
before. Yeah, amen. And shepherd's staff, I said that I would check in with my shepherd friend from Oregon, and he says he doesn't have a proper shepherd's crook because he doesn't have one with a bend on the end, but he wishes that he did, because there that little hook, the crook, is used for rescuing the sheep. If they fall into a ditch or they get stuck on their back and they can't turn over and that kind of thing, you can take them and put it around their body or their leg or whatever and ride them. So when we were talking last week about Psalm 23 that says, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Authority and support. The rod was the authority of, you know, a king's position. He has that rod. And the staff is the one with the crook. So that's that rescuing tool that a shepherd has. Mm. So here you go. I was faithful to what I said I would do.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay. So who knows or in your research has discovered what the verse is, the word is for tonight? What do you think?
Provide.
Provide. Exactly right. Provide. Provide. And what's the phrase that you were saying about that, Marcia? The other day?
Jehovah Jireh, right. Is the Lord provides.
Right.
Oh, I really like that.
Yeah. Well, I figured we could use this particular word. It popped out at me in some other reading that I was doing, and I just thought it would be a good thing to follow up on. So let's start. The way we do this is that one lady takes a whole row of verses. So I'm going to, how about you, Marcia? You feel strong tonight?
Sure.
Good. Psalm 20, Genesis 22, verses 8 to 14. Good for you, Hannah, by the way.
What?
Well, you're here, and that's great. I know, your life is hectic.
This morning, reading to Dwayne.
Woo!
Reading to Dwayne. I like that.
It is. It's a blessing. Incredible.
It certainly is.
We'll keep praying.
Alrighty. Okay, Genesis 22, 8 to 14.
Right.
Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, The Lord Will Provide. And to this day it is said, On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided.
Good.
So.
I know that was a long passage to start with, but I hope the repetition helped the word pop
definitely.
Out.
Definitely.
Okay.
Okay. By faith, Abraham willingly obeyed God to sacrifice the only son promised by God as the son through whom God would make nations. Abraham told his son Isaac, God himself would provide the sacrifice. So God is the one providing.
Mm-hmm.
Both father and son were compliant to God's request. But the angel of the Lord stayed Abraham's hand, acknowledging Abraham's trusting obedience in God. He looked up and saw a ram caught in the thicket. The sacrifice promised by our Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide.
Okay.
So it's, the Lord will provide. That is,
Who did the provide? Who did
God
the
provided.
Right? It was God that provided. What did he provide?
The ram for the sacrifice instead of his son.
Okay, good. Now, notice in the passage that it starts in verse 8
mm-hmm.
before they get there. They're right. on their way to the altar, and Abraham is saying God himself will provide mm-hmm. the ram. Not maybe. A lamb, I mean.
Yeah.
Not maybe or anything else. And then you skip over to verse 13. You know, here is Abraham. He's being obedient, right, to what mm-hmm. God has told him to do. And his son is going to be the sacrifice until verse 13. And actually, 14 is where it says the word provide again. Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. I wonder where that place is. I'd kind of like to go there myself. So, okay. And on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided.
Yes.
Okay.
I like that.
So, what do you see about the distance, so to speak, of verses 8 to 14?
Well, Abraham's trust. He was mm-hmm. he was going through with what the Lord told him to do because he knew mm-hmm. that, well, this son had been promised by God, and he was going to use this son, God was, to make the nations.
Mm-hmm.
So Abraham trustingly went up, and I think it's interesting that his son willingly did it. He asked mm-hmm. his dad, "Are you, you know, where's the mm-hmm. where's the lamb?"
Mm-hmm.
But Abraham knew,
mm-hmm.
and even if he had to raise the dead, he knew he could do mm-hmm. it. And that was
that's
before.
Good. Okay,
but it's also a will provide, which mm-hmm. also is for us in these times. Mm-hmm. It was for him then,
right?
But it is also for us,
right? Exactly.
So
right.
The Lord always provides.
Okay. So in this instance. The thing that Abraham declares, he says, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. Mm-hmm. In this situation, the sacrifice that was provided was a ram. But if we look forward to what it hints about, what do you think it's hinting about, Jean?
Christ.
Yeah.
The Lamb of God.
Yes. Yeah. Great.
And God's one and only Son.
Right. Great. The comparison is just too much to miss. Yeah, it's I agree. And so God is the one who does the providing. Mm-hmm. It's not only for this particular instance. It's for God's people at all times. Mm-hmm. And what's the foundation for the provision?
Our faith.
Our faith, our obedience. That's right.
Yep.
Right. Obedient faith. Okay, good. All right, now does anybody else have anything to add there? Any other little insight?
Well, when Marsha was talking, I made a note that she talked about how Abraham was going to sacrifice his son, which was promised to him by God. And all I could think of is God promised two sons. He promised a son to Abraham, but he also promised a savior for all of us, which turned out to be a son, his son.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was really kind of neat. And it probably is in there three times, because three.
Well, there you go. There you go, Hannah. You're always the detail person. That's good.
It's amazing, though, how when God promises us something, he tests us.
Oh, boy.
And he puts us through trials. Even though he's promised us something, there's still the testing and the trials to go through. Mm-hmm. We just have to be obedient to him and not worry about how he's going to work out the details.
Amen.
Because it's him working out the
right.
details.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's true.
That's great. All right, let's look at Genesis 45, 8 to 11. We have a new situation tonight where we need to finish on time. So we're trying to make our way through the lessons.
Right. Okay.
45, 8 to 11.
So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, this is what your son Joseph says. God made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me. You, your children, and your grandchildren, your flocks and herds, and all you have. I will provide for you there, because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute. So in this instance, again, God is the one that set it up, and Joseph said he would provide for them. He will provide, and that's all the food and everything that they need because of the famine that he had interpreted Pharaoh's dream.
Right.
So he provided for his family, and he knew that if they didn't come down, they wouldn't make it.
Okay,
because of the destitute, you know, times.
So in this specific situation, like in the other one, the earlier passage, it said God provided the ram. So we know specifically what was provided. Right. Something was needed, and it was provided, right? Okay, now in this situation, as you mentioned, he said he's going to provide food. That's going to be one thing, you know. What other needs do you think? Or what else was being provided? I will provide for you. So what specifics? Food?
And also flock for their flocks. It would be pasture and housing.
Yeah, that's right.
And they would have had the best of everything when they got there, so not to worry about the past.
So what did they have to do then?
Leave everything behind.
Yeah, they had to do what they were told, right? Joseph said, you have to come over here.
Don't
you have, right. And you need to do it right away. Yeah. You can't take your sweet old time.
Mm-hmm.
So we're seeing an interesting combination here of things. It's only two so far. So let's keep checking and see. Provide then means that needs are going to be met. So that assumes there is a need.
Yeah.
And it's 5 more years of the famine. He knows that's going to happen because God gave him that understanding, gave Joseph that. So it would be at least that amount of time that they'd be there.
Sacrifice, food, housing, all the stuff for their flocks.
Clothing.
Everything they needed, meeting all their needs. But they had to be obedient and go, just like Abraham had to go up to the mountain.
Yep.
All right, let's move on to Genesis 47, verse 12.
Okay. Joseph also provided his father and his brothers and all his father's household with food according to the number of their children. So, and he had grandchildren and everything. So each and every one was provided for by Joseph. So the whole family, there was no one left out, even if they brought servants with them, whatever it was. Everything was provided for them. So,
yep, that's good. Yep. Nobody was left out, and it was the entire family.
Right.
All the needs were
right.
met. Mm-hmm. That's good. That's right. Provision. Anybody have anything else to add for that one?
He did what he promised to do.
Good. He kept his promise. That's right. He said, "I will provide." And when he got when they got there, he did. They were obedient, and the provision was there. Faith and trust again, right? All right.
Cool.
Thanks, Anna. Let's slip over to chapter 50 and do 19 to 21.
Okay.
Please.
Okay, Exodus 50. 19.
Genesis.
I mean, Genesis. I knew that.
It's, okay.
It's okay. It's really
okay.
Close to Exodus.
Yeah, it is. I'm looking at Exodus.
I see it, Anna. I see it.
But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. I like this because they'd been seeing how they'd sold Joseph into slavery and thought he was dead, and here he is. Over all of Egypt. He's assuring them. Oh, wait, let me read those.
Okay.
Do that.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. Anyway, that's fine. Joseph.
You're doing fine.
Joseph assured his brothers the need not to be afraid. They intended harm for Joseph. God intended what happened for his good purpose, saving many lives. He spoke kindly to them, reassuring them that he would provide for them. He made the distinction, Joseph did, to his brothers that God, it didn't matter what they did. It wasn't the important thing. Their intentions
right.
were definitely not good.
Right.
But God had that plan right from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, Joseph was exactly where he needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
He was obedient to God. He never was discouraged. Well, he may have been discouraged, but he never gave in. And he always did what was right and earned the trust of Pharaoh. So everyone was safe and well fed during that time because of it. All were accounted for. And it just shows that God's provision for us, yes, we have to be obedient and our faith has to be there. And he promises never to leave or forsake us. And this is definitely, God planned it, and Joseph being obedient carried it out. So again, all we're accounted for. And that's like us, if we are obedient to God. Actually, Joseph, it says Joseph provided, but God provided through Joseph.
Right, exactly.
And that was the main thing.
That's right.
So.
Exactly right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anybody have anything to add?
I just thought it's, when it says now, for the saving of many lives, this wasn't just any many lives.
Mm-hmm.
This was the young nation of Israel.
Yeah.
This is all of Israel and his children.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just the beginning of God's chosen people.
Mm-hmm.
And God wasn't going to squish them right at the beginning.
Right. That's right.
He provided for them,
just
as he now provides for his own chosen.
That's right.
Now.
That's right. All the descendants were going to be cared for, in spite of the fact that their intentions were wrong.
Yep.
Yeah. That's true.
And
that's
it's true. Interesting. I'm glad you brought that up about, you know, onward to all God's people, because how many times have we quoted that verse? It says, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good
to
accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." That's right. So God's plan cannot be waylaid.
Isn't there a verse somewhere, I can't remember where, but that says that all bad things God will turn and make to glorify him? He will use them to glorify.
You intended it for evil, but God intended it for good. That's it right here.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. All right, let's go on to the next row here. Hannah, would you go on with us, please, for this row of verses, Psalm 111. Psalm 111, verses 5 and 9. Did you see the comma there? Not 5 mm-hmm. through 9. I was mm-hmm. trying to be helpful since the first one was so long.
I read the whole thing.
Well, see, that I'm glad you did. I hope people will do that, but I, you know, I figure, well, I'll leave it up to them. Okay.
5. Psalm 111, 5.
Mm-hmm.
He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever.
Mm-hmm.
And then 9 is, he provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. You got a good one. You got a good one.
Well, I immediately thought of the verses with Abraham, because it talked about
mm-hmm.
Because he was obedient and he was obedient and feared God enough to do what God wanted him to do,
mm-hmm.
he saved his son. And I thought of that when it read that he provides food for those who fear him.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also was thinking that he doesn't just provide food for our sustenance and our bodies. He provides spiritual food for our
mm-hmm.
for our spiritual well-being.
Yes, that's right.
And then he provided redemption for his people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of all the times he saved the Jewish people.
Yes.
He saved them so many times, no matter how disobedient they were. He saved them, and then he did the ultimate saving by sending his son,
right.
which
oh, yeah.
is the redemption
oh, yes.
of the entire
right.
world,
that's
as long
right.
as we believe in Christ
right.
and try to follow his ways.
Right. Notice in verse 5 how it's connected there. It's just a semicolon there. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever.
Yeah.
So it goes
mm-hmm.
together with the provision.
Yeah.
Food in that particular place is meant to represent daily needs.
Yeah.
Since food is something that we need on an ongoing basis, that means
mm-hmm.
all our daily needs. And you could almost say God provides all of our daily needs, all of the daily needs for those who fear him, and provides his covenant, the results of his covenant forever.
Mm-hmm.
He remembers his covenant forever. So it's the eternal benefits too. Okay, and what about 9? Did you roll them together, and I missed it? Yes, you did.
Yeah,
okay.
I did.
Sorry.
I kind of rolled
okay.
them together.
That's great. All right, let's move on to Psalm.
Go
ahead, sorry,
Jean.
Please do.
Okay. I noticed in verse 5, provides is present tense,
mm-hmm.
continuous.
Yes,
it's a
continuous that's right.
thing, as you said.
That's right.
But in verse 9,
mm-hmm.
he provided redemption. Already done. Already
Ooh.
Done. He ordained Ooh. His covenant forever. Already
Ooh.
Done. Already
mm-hmm.
done. As far as God's word is concerned,
mm-hmm.
when he says it, that's it. It settles it.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
So even though Jesus hadn't
oh,
come
right.
in the flesh
mm-hmm.
to die for them,
mm-hmm.
it was already a sealed deal as
mm-hmm.
far as God was
mm-hmm.
concerned.
Good.
He had already
oh,
purchased their
right,
redemption.
Right.
So I just thought, gee, that's incredible.
Huh.
You know, and it has to do with his covenant.
Yes.
Forever.
Yes. Yes.
It's really good.
Already provided, already in place, already ready. And also, it's also because in the Old Testament, even though they were looking forward to Messiah,
mm-hmm.
you know, that was
yeah.
good. That was wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Oh, oh, oh. Thank you. Okay, Proverbs 31. Hope everybody know Proverbs 31, right?
Mm-hmm.
Proverbs 31, 5.
And it wasn't 5, it was 15.
It's 15.
Yes, 15.
All right, well, I'll fix that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's just pointing out that I'm definitely an imperfect individual.
Like the rest of us.
Thank you for... thank
we
you. Oh, it says 15 on my handwritten one. Okay.
Ah.
It's all right. You type better than I do.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. and it's talking about a wife of noble character.
Mm-hmm.
And how she provides the daily sustenance
mm-hmm.
for her family
mm-hmm.
and her the people that help her.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting to me. Does anybody else have anything to add there?
Well, go ahead.
I think it was
go ahead.
You know, a tribute and a description of the wife of noble character.
Mm-hmm.
How she gets up early, and you know what Hannah said, but it's a present tense to. She gets up, and that's us too.
Mm-hmm. I hope it's you too. I hope it's you too. You get up eventually, don't you?
Yeah.
Good. Okay, what if we did this? What if we said it was the wife of godly character, or it's a wife of noble character, so she's a godly wife? Could we say that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So here we are. Again, this has happened to us a few times in our studies, right? We learn about who God is. God provides for his people. He provides for their daily needs. He meets their needs. They need to, you know, the basis of that is their faithful obedience, you know, and that kind of stuff. But here we have the wife who is providing food for her family, meeting the daily needs of her family, not just her blood family, but also the servant girls that are part of the household. So she's exhibiting God's character.
Now, can I just throw in a caveat here?
Yes.
She provides food that's been provided for her.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So it's not that she's gone out there and worked hard and made all the money and brought it home and provided the food. No. She is providing
preparing.
And preparing, mm-hmm. and she's yeah. just making sure that they get what mm-hmm. her husband has already
mm-hmm.
provided
mm-hmm.
for the family.
Mm-hmm.
Just as we are to give out of the provision that God gives to us, to
right.
others.
Right, right.
Especially those right around us.
Yes, it reminds me of what Marsha said when we were talking about Joseph, too.
Yes.
Joseph was able to provide for his brothers and so on, mm-hmm. the extended family, out of the provision that God had given.
Yes.
That's right. Good, thanks.
That's a really good.
I love it when we're together and everybody brings
it's,
their little view.
It's so fun. It just works its way right up. I mean,
it sure
you know,
does.
Yeah, it does.
Because
right.
what the husband was able to give to for the wife to prepare
mm-hmm.
was given to him
by God.
By God.
God,
that's
mm-hmm.
right. God is the provider. That's why that back when it said he named the mountain, God will provide.
Yeah.
He named that place, God will provide. Thank
mm-hmm.
you, Father.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's move up to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43:18-21.
This is an excellent study. Well, they all are. But
tell God's word, can't be bad.
Mm. Well, I had that mark since 1988 and also 2004.
Oh, wow.
That section of the Bible. Okay, go ahead, Hannah.
Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Mm. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise.
Mm, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
So I had that Christ provides water in the desert and streams in the wasteland so his chosen people can drink and proclaim his praise.
Mm-hmm.
They're not just drinking water, they're
mm-hmm.
drinking the spirit,
yes.
spiritual
mm-hmm. That's right.
water.
That's right.
That
you will never thirst
so that
again.
They'll never be thirsty again.
Right, exactly.
And I thought of the woman at the well.
Mm-hmm.
I did think of the woman at the well when I was
mm-hmm.
reading this. And I thought it was interesting that the jackals and the owls honored
mm-hmm.
him for
mm-hmm.
providing that. So
mm-hmm.
it's all his creation.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just his chosen people.
Mm-hmm.
It's the creation that he made at the beginning of
yeah.
the world. They're all praising him
mm-hmm.
for giving them
mm-hmm.
the sustenance
mm-hmm.
of life.
Good.
That's really
good. Good. You know, in the last one where we were talking about bread, or an earlier one, the Psalm 111 passage
mm.
talked about the daily needs, you know, bread, Jesus is the bread of life. So we can make that comparison, and that reminds me that, again, this, I was reminded of that because of what you said, Hannah, in this one, that water is, you know, the water that we will never thirst again. It's right, the,
and that's it, just a reference was John 4:13-14 when he talks to the woman at the well that you mentioned.
Yeah.
It's with that.
Yep. Thank you for the reference. Thank you for the reference.
Yeah.
Now, the thing that I, that caught me on this one is that it's in the desert. It's not on a meadow when you're skipping along, or a broad highway when everything's moving in the same direction. Well, it's in the middle of the desert.
And you think wasteland. Yeah. Right. You know, wasteland is like some place that I immediately thought of the Black Hills up in, you know, up in the Dakotas, it's all just, it looks like a moonscape up there. I've never been there, but that's what people tell me that have seen it. And that's what I think of when I think of a wasteland, something where, you know, nothing grows, and he's going to bring water, and he's going to make faith grow.
Right.
He's going to make people grow that are going to believe in him.
That's
great.
That's really cool.
Now, let me ask you a question. Who is the provision for? Tells in there.
It's for his chosen people.
Yes, for those who are chosen.
So, there, it's for the people that are already listed in the book.
Yes, in that book.
Amen.
Yeah.
The people he formed for himself.
Yes,
and
don't you know it? Think about it. Huh?
Really and you think about it, because there are probably some of them that are wastelands inside of themselves.
Yeah.
And he's going to bring water to them.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he... put our name in the book before the creation of the world, as scripture teaches, then formed us, you know, chosen, formed, and all of that. And what does it say? It's the purpose he's bringing provision. What's the purpose for the provision?
It's
that's what it's for, but
it's
what's
so
the purpose?
It's so that we can praise him.
Aha, aha. So, to glorify God and enjoy him forever, right?
Amen.
And so our response then for God, to God's provision should be, you were mentioning about the jackals and the owls. What do the wild animals do in response?
I
gotta
find it again.
It's in verse 20.
They honor him.
Yes.
The jackals and the owls honor him.
Yeah. If the animals are honoring him in response to their provision, to his provision for them.
He says here that the wild animals are honoring him because he provides us, his chosen people, with water.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. Creatures of the desert.
To give drink to my chosen people. Mm-hmm. Yes, they benefit from it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just the way I read it.
Yeah.
No, I missed that. I think that's great. Because you're right.
Well, you know, people think, oh, the animals are the same as us. But God created everything for us. When he put the world in order, he put the grass, the trees, fruit in the trees. He gave the animals and all this. And then he put Adam in the garden to take care of it. So he made everything for Adam to take care of. And therefore for us to take dominion over. Not to mistreat or anything like that, but to take dominion over.
Yes. It's another one of those, God provides it for this purpose and then it carries on.
Yes.
You know, like he provided it to Joseph that his family would be, you know. Go ahead, Hannah.
But people that believe in Christ and try to do what Christ wants, you know, tells us to do in his word.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When we have animals, treat them better than other people? I mean, look at the animal abuse that is going on in our world today.
Right.
I mean, that's just, I don't want to get too sidetracked, but that's how I interpret that now that you brought it out, is that, of course they're going to rejoice. They'd much rather be taken care of by a Christian than by somebody who's going to abuse them, right?
Yeah. That's right.
So...
That's good, Hannah. I'm glad that you're a farmer and you're here with us.
That is so cool. And the other thing is, when Jesus was riding in on the palms and all, on the donkey.
Yes.
But he said even the stones would cry out if others didn't. So everything that God has made
Yes.
Praises him
yes.
in a way that
yeah.
it's not the earth that we worship, it's the Lord.
That's right.
And that's what he, you know, praise God.
Think about it. Since the jackals and the owls, meaning the wild animals, right, are honoring God, how much more should we be doing that?
Since
the Psalms, I think it's Psalm 46, tells us that basically man is the crowning piece of his creation. Mm-hmm. How much more we should be honored with all capital letters and bold and underline and all that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's go on to the next row if you ladies are ready. Boy, it's a lot of rich stuff. I got a lot of extra notes. Okay. All right.
It's very rich. You're right.
All right. Let's go over to Ruth 3. Ruth.
Ruth.
I know. Especially a ladies' Bible study.
Neat.
Ruth 3, verse 1. When you're ready.
Do you want me to do that one?
Yes. I'm sorry. Did I not say it? Jean, sorry. Go ahead.
One day, Ruth's mother-in-law Naomi said to her, "My daughter, I must find a home for you where you will be well provided for." I like it. Naomi just takes on the responsibility of seeing to Ruth.
Mm-hmm.
And not just, you know, I mean, she tried to keep her back,
mm-hmm.
knowing that she had nothing. She didn't know what she was going to encounter.
Right.
So she, when they went, she said that she wanted to find a home for her where she'd be well provided for. Yet it was Naomi that went out gleaning the fields because Naomi was probably too old to do that at that point.
Right.
And yet Naomi was still the one that to say that I'm going to see that you are provided for.
Right.
She took that responsibility.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Trusting God, I would imagine.
Right. To find a place
for her to.
Well, since she couldn't do it, as you say. She couldn't go out in the fields and get the food, the grain or whatever. She couldn't, you know, create something out of nothing. You know,
she watched over Ruth Ruth was out there every day. She asked her how her
mm-hmm.
day went, who
mm-hmm.
she met, what
mm-hmm.
she did.
Oh, yes.
You know,
oh, yes.
She was right there
mm-hmm.
taking the pulse of
mm-hmm.
things. And then when she heard,
mm-hmm.
you know, about Boaz,
mm-hmm.
she went,
aha. Yeah. I'm sure that's exactly what she said. Aha. Uh-huh. That's right. So when she says, where you will be well provided for, what do you think she means by that, provided?
Taken care of.
Okay, what do you
mean? Safety.
Okay.
A place to live,
mm-hmm.
food to eat,
mm-hmm.
Children maybe
mm-hmm.
even,
mm-hmm.
Because she was still a relatively young woman and had no children.
Mm-hmm.
So that would have been something that the culture at that time, well, God said children are a blessing from the Lord in any culture.
That's right.
But that kind of provision,
mm-hmm.
as well as, you know, the husband is the one to take care of the spiritual provision.
Sure. Yeah. Excellent, excellent, excellent.
And another I was thinking, too, is Naomi knew that she would be cared for because Ruth was. Ruth had already gone along with
mm-hmm.
her to take care
mm-hmm.
of her. And,
and remember that it was Naomi who said to Ruth, "You stay here because I'm going back to my people.
Mm-hmm.
You stay here where you'll be cared for. I'm going home to my people." The implication being, I will be taken care of there, going back to her own
mm-hmm.
culture.
Yeah.
And instead, Ruth said, no, wherever you go, I will go. And, you know, that whole talk speech she gave.
Oh, I really like that.
And so here was Ruth coming along to do whatever she could do, physically or whatever, to help provide for
Naomi.
Kind of interesting, huh?
Mm-hmm.
But I think the key thing you said, which is a thread that's coming out to me tonight that I did not see at all, is this idea that Naomi herself could not, you know, I will provide for you. But she couldn't.
She couldn't.
The only thing she could do was trust God to meet the needs that were there. She would probably pray and play whatever part
mm-hmm.
she could. But she couldn't.
She couldn't do anything.
No, her sons were dead. That's as she said, you know, what am I going to do? Have more sons and then you're going to wait this amount of time till they're old enough to marry? No, that's ridiculous. She knew she couldn't. So there's a foundation of needing to trust God to do the provision.
Mm.
You know, how dangerous it can be for us to think that by the work of our hands, we can, you know, rather we submit our energy to the Lord and, you know, and all of that and look for Him to provide.
Yep.
Well, it's a question, too. In my version, it's
mm-hmm.
my daughter, should I not try to find you a home?
Mm-hmm.
So she's... I think that she needed to do something for Ruth so that she would feel useful.
Mm, could be. Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah. Mm.
Because Ruth was gleaning the fields and providing their food for both of them and doing all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think, and it's almost like she's asking Ruth if she should be doing this.
Sure.
Sort of, sort of like, what do they call that in the business world when you... when you're throwing ideas around.
Oh, yeah, when you're brainstorming. Okay, brainstorming, yeah. Well, when the implication there by her asking that question is she's actually declaring the point of that question much more strongly than if she just kind of said, well, I'm gonna do my best, or how does she say it? I'm going to try to find a home for you. No, the point she's making is, should I not try to find a home? It's like, that's ridiculous. Of course, that's what I'm going to be doing. Yeah. It comes by stating it as a question. It makes it more. Mm-hmm. It makes it stronger.
Right.
So that's and the thing that we didn't mention a detail here is, let's remember that Naomi is the older woman, and mm-hmm. she is back in the Jewish culture. She's back amongst God's people,
right.
And we older ladies are meant to be watching out for the younger ladies. Mm. And as one of you or a couple of you have said, here's Ruth going to the fields, working in the heat of the day and doing whatever she can do to help to make sure, to take care of Naomi. And Naomi's, basically taking on her proper responsibility as an older woman to see to the long-term provision for Ruth. Yes.
And Ruth taking on her proper position and providing for Naomi.
Oh, so here again, here's another thread. We are seeing obedience, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
Obedience
to
God's
That's
standards.
A good point.
Again.
Which is why God
blesses.
I don't think I can fit this
God
all on my
Boaz.
Piece of paper.
You gotta stop bringing bigger pieces of paper.
I know. Well, in a very real sense, God did.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't, there's nothing outlined here about how much time Naomi spent on her knees, whether it was figuratively or literally, we don't know, mm-hmm. but in prayer for Ruth's future.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No,
we don't know.
We don't see it there, but what else did she have?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And Ruth wasn't Jewish.
Right.
That's right.
So exactly right.
Big That's reason right. why mm-hmm. she really needed to have a place to go where she would be well provided for.
Well, now remember, she came back into this country under the protection, or whatever you want to call it, of Naomi, and she had been married to Naomi's son.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a little bit of a half step, so to speak, but she didn't have Jewish blood. That's right.
Right.
Okay.
And they're in the line of
Jesus.
Yes, they're
Jesus.
In the line of David.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So. All right. Well, let's. We're really mining the depths of these things.
Yep.
Okay, let's move on to 2 Kings 13, 4 and 5. Now, this time I kind of went through the Old Testament and then we jumped over into the New. Wait till you see the one for next week. It jumps all around.
All right.
So you'll really have to be on your toes. 13, 4 and 5.
Then Jehoahaz sought the Lord's favor, and the Lord listened to him, for he saw how severely the king of Aram was oppressing Israel. The Lord provided a deliverer for Israel, and they escaped from the power of Aram. So the Israelites lived in their own homes as they had before.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord delivered Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Surprising.
Again.
Mm. But I like how it says here, Jehoahaz sought the Lord's favor.
Mm.
He sought out God. And the Lord listened to him.
Mm-hmm.
So, in our earlier Bible studies,
mm-hmm.
we had said how that the Lord would allow Israel, or the Israelites, to get themselves into a world of mess, just so they'd cry out to him,
right.
so he could deliver them,
right.
and rescue them. And so here, Jehoahaz seeks the Lord. Lord,
yes,
we need your
yes,
favor.
Yes,
we can't
yes.
do it on our own. And the Lord listens to him, and the Lord delivers Israel. And I like how it says, so the Israelites lived in their own homes
mm-hmm.
as they had before. Now
mm-hmm.
that's security and comfort.
Yes, yes, yes.
So.
Yes. There's so much to say there. So who is it that does the providing here?
God.
God
mm-hmm.
does, okay. And he's providing, obviously, in a time of need,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
they king of Aram was oppressing Israel, so they were in trouble. And God provided the deliverer. Mm. And that is a small d, but we know that God provided the deliverer with a capital D, Jesus. Okay, so here's another example. These are not just fun stories to tell. God has these retained for us throughout the Old and New Testament to make sure that we're aware of who he is and what he does. He delivers his people.
It's wonderful.
You know, he prepares them. And notice the thing that you just brought out, Gene, which I did not see, about how Jehoahaz sought the Lord's favor. His heart had to have been in a very reverent, understanding who God is, humble, seeking, you know. His heart was right. And then God brought the provision.
He wasn't just seeking deliverance from the Lord. He was seeking the Lord's favor.
I just
found that very interesting.
Yes.
How many times do we go to the Lord looking for his favor?
I know.
You know, we want answers, but we really want his favor.
Right. Amen. So. Which might not be what we think we want.
Exactly.
Well,
that's what we need.
I also like what you said about they lived in their own homes, because that underscores what we said earlier about some of the needs that God meets, you know, safety, roof. Shelter, food, all that stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Does anybody have anything to add? All right. Acts 14. Now, we're going over to the New Testament. And one of the exciting things that we see pretty regularly is how the Old and New Testament flow together. Some places, people think that they're separate, that one Testament has nothing to do with the other one. I mean, I don't know. Maybe that makes sense, since there was 400 years in between. But what we see is the common thread that God is in the Old Testament pointing ahead and in the New Testament reminding us and pointing us onward. So it's all about who God is. Mm-hmm. We're at Acts 14, verse 17.
Yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy. I like the fact that he shows his kindness to us by his provision. And his provision is the rain from heaven, crops in their seasons, which provide plenty of food, because you and I both know you don't get the rains, you don't get a good crop, you don't get much food to eat. And he fills our hearts with joy. But it starts off by saying he has not left himself without testimony. It means he's going to get the glory for this.
So that's what the whole thing is, from the very beginning all the way along. I mean, as we've been seeing in Joshua, that he saved them at Jericho in such a wild way, so all the nations would know that he is God.
Amen.
But I like, anybody have anything to add here before I say, because I'm kind of bursting over here. Anybody have anything else on this Acts 14 thing?
No, burst away.
I really like it that it says that the provision is kindness. It's an expression of kindness. It's God. So provision is God's kindness to us.
Amen.
You know, and he provides us with food and all that. You know, in other words, again, the food represents daily needs. So he meets our daily needs. And then he doesn't just fold his hands and say, okay, you guys, you're well fed. You have plenty to drink. I'm going to go take a nap. You know? He actually fills our hearts with joy, too.
That's true.
He doesn't sleep all night and get up early in the morning to supply food for his family. He's on it 24/7.
He's actually busier than you, Hannah. Shocking. Farm lady. Yeah, I love it.
That's amazing.
All right.
Cool.
It is, isn't it?
Incredible.
I just love it. I love it. I love it. You know, he doesn't leave anything undone or unturned.
That's true. Just a quickie.
Yeah, that's
thinking
fine.
About, you know, Hannah and Gene, you too. But Hannah, you know, you're really into the farming and the gardening and everything else. And Gene, you too would agree with that. You're into it. But me, I can kill a cactus. So he provides for, you know, people like me in ways that I wouldn't be able to do otherwise.
Amen.
Unless I could eat.
Amen.
Clover and sunflowers. it's true though. He does provide as needed, and it's just I think about that because I'm thumbs surrounded by mm-hmm. green thumbs.
Not me.
You're no?
No, honey, no. Nope. That's why I like cut flowers, just in case you ever want to give me flowers. Give me cut ones, because when they die, I don't feel bad.
Just toss them puppies out, huh?
All right.
Oh, gosh.
1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. 1 Timothy 6, 17. I should check my notes every now and then. Okay, ready? Yes, I'll go. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, mm-hmm. who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Mm. Okay. Whoa, I mean, this is what happens when we carry on in the study, that we get toward the end and it's how many more times so rich, can you say it? Okay. So it's God who provides. Mm-hmm. And he provides for his people, because that's who's Paul's talking about when he says mm-hmm. us, you know, with everything. And then once again, it's not just food and drink and shelter and stuff like that. It's everything for our enjoyment. Mm-hmm. So he even goes beyond the physical, you know, joy and in the, for me, the grace I need to grow, to get more mature, to get over all this bad stuff, you know, all the... You know, the old habits and things like that. I really need work in that area, and he's providing that for me, too.
Amen. Which brings us joy.
You talking about me, Jean? No, okay.
Yes. Which brings us joy when he does those things.
Yes, it's connected, isn't it?
It is. It's all
connected. I love it. I love it. It says, richly provides.
Yeah.
Richly provides. Thank you, God. All right. Now, I know it looks strange, but we're going to go back one chapter to 5, verse 8. Because that's how God provides, right? Mm-hmm. He's the foundation. He's the one we look at. He's the one that, you know, mm-hmm. his character is what we're supposed to be looking toward.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever.
Mm. It's a pretty strong statement.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So last week we talked about comfort. And all about how God provides comfort and this and this and this. And then we learned that because God comforts us, we're to turn around and give the comfort to others that he is with which he has comforted us. So God provides and provides all this stuff. And here he's warning us, because if nobody provides for their relatives, especially immediate family, or worse than an unbeliever. Scary, huh?
It is. Can that include the household of faith too? Where, I mean, brothers and sisters... It seems, or is it talking specifically about?
Oh, I see what you're asking. For the immediate family? I think that means biological family.
Okay.
The immediate family. Yes.
Yeah, because it was something that the people would just take care for the body, but not for their own family.
Right.
You know, there are a lot that are so involved in ministry, they forget their own family spiritual needs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they may not provide, you know, they may provide the food, but they don't provide the spiritual backing or the secure backing that's needed. But this is assuming that God has provided for you, and then you're withholding that provision from others, and that's not a good thing.
Right. That's what I was thinking. It doesn't mean that I need to jump up and run out and harvest the food or work to get the food or whatever. But if it's, you know, Kurt's providing it, I need to be making sure it's on the table and that we're being hospitable and those kind of things.
Okay.
You know, that verse is an important one, because it shows that we're not just talking off the top of our heads when we say we are meant to turn around and echo God's treatment of us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He so richly provides.
Mm.
And as we're supposed to be ambassadors and living letters and God's representatives and all that kind of stuff, you know, in the world.
That's true.
This is another one.
Is this the scripture? I didn't look, but is this the scripture that goes after, if a man does not work, he shall not eat? Or I think that was Paul said that. Okay, so
That's in a different place.
It's a different
but
place.
That's right.
All right.
All right. Well, let's move on here. We're going backwards to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 10. First Corinthians chapter 10. Verses 11 to 13. Oops. 11 to 13. Okay, these are warnings that are being given to Israel. These things happen to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So, if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it.
I like that.
Yes. As a matter of fact, somebody brought this to my attention and asked me what that meant exactly. But anyway, God will provide a way out when we are tempted. That is the big provision here. You know, we've been talking about what God provides, and we've talked about practical things in our lives and spiritual things in our lives and meeting all of our needs and so on. And I don't know about you ladies, but temptation to sin is a big thing in my life. I face it all the time. And it is very comforting for me to know that God will provide a way out. Okay, so what's the condition for that? The condition for that is that I have to be in Christ. I have to be humble before him. I have to be coming to him. I need to be living my life in faith. You know, I can't just run around flagrantly dabbling in every temptation there is around, opening it and seeking it and all that kind of stuff, and then say, oh, well, God didn't show me a way out. Oh, well.
Oh, that's for sure.
No, we need to be looking for his provision.
That would be tempting him.
I thought it was, I like the part about standing up under the temptation thing, because when you sin, it can weigh you down, if you don't take it to God, you know, if you sin and you take it to God right away, it's sort of like not forgiving someone.
Yes.
If you don't forgive somebody, it wears on you and wears on you and wears on you, and it makes it hard to function. So it is like, it's like a burden.
It is.
And so when it talks about the sin and standing up under the temptation because God is helping you to stand up under the temptation, that's what I thought of, was how the temptation is there. And if you are looking towards the temptation instead of looking towards Christ, it becomes a weight that works on you.
It's true.
It does.
It's true.
It can even, it can be a darkness. It can be, it just.
Well,
yeah, that's for sure.
Talking about bearing up under it reminds me back at the little note I shared with you before we actually started about endurance, and it connected with an earlier study about perseverance, that hupomene idea, which means under, remain. So that when temptation, trial, struggles, whatever, anything stretching going on in our life is going on, that's the idea, is that it's God working in our lives. We need to remain under it while he accomplishes his work. Turning to him, being humble before him. Remember one of the other verses we looked at tonight was having a humble heart. Jehoash sought God's favor, you know. So our heart condition is really critical here. So
Romans 8. 5-8 says, those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's laws, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. And so, but it says, but you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit.
Amen.
If the Spirit of God lives in you. So it's like, what do we have our mindset on?
Right.
We have our mindset on Christ, and on God, and on his work, then we will be able to stand up under
it. Right.
He will allow us, and we'll actually see the way
out. Exactly, because we're looking for it.
Because we're looking for it.
Yes, that's right.
But if we have our mindset on the things of the flesh and the things that we want, we might not want to look for a way out, and therefore not find the way.
So true, so true. All right, thanks. I'm glad you found that verse, June.
That is good.
All right, we're going to carry on to the last row, and since there's three separate verses, I think I'll ask each of you ladies to contribute. So, Hannah, would you, Marcia, would you start with Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, please?
Hebrews
Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Okay.
Hebrews 1, 1 to 3. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Oh, I love that. Great description.
Okay, now you say your thing, but I'm going to be asking a bunch of questions, so get ready.
Okay, here we go. Oh, boy.
It's also you got a whole book over there.
That's Marcia. Carry on.
All right. Okay. Jesus Christ is our sustainer. Mm-hmm. God the Father speaks to us through Jesus, the radiance of God's glory. Jesus' light shines through, and I can think of glory as something I can't even imagine. It has to be so pure and so holy and so amazing to be the majesty. But Jesus' light shines through where we can see it, and we can also be carriers of that light. Anyway. All right, the exact representation of God's being, our forefathers were spoken to by prophets of God in various ways. God appointed those people, and they spoke what God spoke to the people, whether it was warnings or directions or whatever it was. But we have Jesus directly, God's own Son, good. Only begotten
That's right.
Son. Oh, I know. Okay. Sorry.
That's all right.
Jesus, God's well-prophesied Son, provided purification for our sins by shedding his blood, was buried, raised the third day, and is seated at the right hand of the Majesty, our Heavenly Father. And that was done once for all. And it's a... when he provided for us that sacrifice, it was done that one time. It does not need to be done again. Whereas and where it started out, he is our sustainer. Those are ongoing. They're present tense. But that one thing that he did for us that has never been done and will never be done again is his sacrifice of his own self for us.
Okay. So what was provided? Sticking with the word of the night, everything you said is right. Okay, provide. What was provided?
Jesus was provided. Let me think. All right.
Look at verse 3.
Marsh, here we go.
It's all right. I know
the Son is the radiance of God's glory.
After he provided what?
The sustaining all things by his word. After he had provided purification for sin.
Okay,
you're right.
So here we see that purification for sin was provided. Yes. Okay, that's a finished in the past, right? Okay, it's finished. Okay,
right.
Who did that?
Jesus did.
Well, yeah, by his life.
By his life.
Okay,
but
and what does it tell us about Jesus there? Jesus is what? At the beginning of verse 3.
He is, let's see,
so the radiance of God's glory, right? Okay,
right.
So he's the radiance of the Father. We've seen that in other scripture too. Okay,
right. And he was appointed heir of all things.
Yes. Now, if you're looking at the sun, can you separate the sun shining, the brilliance of the sun, from the sun planet itself?
No,
you can't. Jesus is the radiance of the Father.
Yeah.
Can't really separate them. They are different, but they're really inseparable.
True.
Okay?
Even if clouds are in the way.
Right. The exact representation of the Father. Okay, so we know who. It's God. Mm-hmm. We know what. He provided purification from sin.
Yeah.
Okay? And what goes along with it? Some of the other stuff we've been talking about tonight, right?
All right.
Something's provided, it's a presupposition that there's a need.
Yep.
for provision. It's
because we're sinners, we were. No one is exempt from sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
That's right, exactly.
And that's why Jesus was sent. And he gave his life for our sins.
As a ransom for many. That's exactly right. And what was it about Jesus? How did he provide that?
With the sacrifices of his own body.
Right. Exactly. Right. Mm-hmm. His own body and his own blood paid for the purification from sin. His redeeming death on the cross. Mm-hmm. Now, we've been talking about provisions all night, right?
Yeah.
And needs that are being met all night. And here's the supreme one. We start off by saying God provides everything, right? Mm. Okay, so this is really a key one. And I think that we could throw in some of those things that we say are the results of this kind of provision. God's provision too, right? Safety.
Sustainer.
Yeah. Kindness, joy.
Yeah.
Well, if it wasn't all his provision, everything. We could not be his people.
Mm. Yes.
So we could not really be the beneficiaries of
heirs,
right? We couldn't be the heirs if he had, right.
Yep.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Because where Jesus, I'm trying to think of a verse. I know it's in the New Testament where it talks about us being Jesus's brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Joint
that
heirs.
That's right. Joint heirs with Christ. Right.
Joint heirs.
Right. That's
and it
right.
It says here in this that Jesus is the heir of all things.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And I want you to notice at the end of verse 3, too, it says that he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. And now look, he sat down. Why do you suppose he sat down?
Because his work was done.
His work is done. Yeah.
That's right. The provision. It's ED again, past tense.
Mm-hmm. Provided.
Cool, huh? Okay.
Incredible.
We could ponder that and go on for a really long time, but let's...
All of eternity, as a matter of fact.
What?
All of eternity.
Yes, all of eternity.
There you go.
Okay, let's go on to Colossians.
Looking forward to it.
Colossians. Amen. Hallelujah.
I wonder if there's tea in there.
I'll be waving at you. Okay. Colossians chapter 4, verse 1.
Masters.
You
want me to wait?
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead.
Okay. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I immediately thought of the fact that God expects us to do what he has done for us. So if he's our master and he treats us fairly and righteous and truth with truth, and keeps his promises, then we need to do that also. And it refers to our slaves. I don't have any slaves, but sometimes I feel like one.
There you go. That's right.
but I try to provide, and I'm making it personal, but I try to provide for my children the way I want to be provided for.
That's right. That's another biblical principle too. Do unto others. That's right.
So that's what I thought of, and I've been using the phrase of you know, take the wood out of your own eye first,
right?
Type of thing.
Okay.
But
go ahead, Hannah.
But he wants us to provide, so he wants us to make sure that there's food
to care for,
shelter, and kindness.
That's right. That's right.
All the things that we've read about.
That's right.
So far,
right.
We can't do the purification.
Right.
But
now
that's already done.
Now Paul's not. That's right. Paul's not. Condoning necessarily slavery.
Right.
Okay. So it's in this relationship. It could be bosses.
That's how
provide properly for your employees.
Yeah.
You know.
Doctors,
right.
Servants.
So there's no such thing as having a lofty position of some type that gets you out of acting like Christ, like Christians, you know.
Yep.
So
we're held accountable because you know that you have a master in heaven.
Yeah, exactly. I thought it's interesting to me they talk about masters and slaves, and we can easily turn around, you know, God as the master. We talk about Christ as the master, you know.
Yeah,
as we're bond servants to him. So the comparison of the relationship is really kind of obvious. Okay, now I do think that it's important to remember that verse, when we talk about this one, to go back to the verse that said in 1 Timothy 5:8, we need to care for our families. provide for our families. So there's a balance there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, if it happens that our employees or the others that God brings for us to, you know, care for and so forth out of his provision. Actually, we know somebody like that. He was giving to so many causes that his own family was not having enough to eat. And his furnace broke down once in the house. And he didn't have the money to repair it. They went 3 years without heat in the New England winters and everything because he was giving his money away. Now, the causes were lovely, and I'm sure that, you know, there were people that thought he was really a wonderful man. But it was cold in that house.
He didn't do the first things.
No, that's right. Didn't do the first things first.
And
that's one of the reasons I love doing these studies where we get a breadth of understanding.
Oh,
because if you just pick a verse here or there, you could really go off track.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be very careful. Yeah. And this is not all of the things on provision either. All of the verses on provision provide. All right. So it's another call to echo God's kind of providing. All right. 1 Peter is our last passage tonight. 1 Peter 4:11.
If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. This goes back to what we were saying earlier. You know, when we serve and do God's work, we don't do it with our own strength.
Right.
We use the strength that he's provided for us. It's not our own strength, but his. That he might get the praise and the glory forever. So that it's still God who provides. It's God who provides the strength so that we can serve and do the things that he requires us to do. And for one, that might be one thing. To another, it's something else. We each, you know, I can't live my life like you, Marcia, because God hasn't called me to live your life. So I may not speak the very words of God. I might have to serve, or I might have to do something else. We each have a different thing, you know?
Great.
So that's whatever it is, we have to do it with God's strength.
That's right, that's right. And what's and once again, you know, we talk about who's doing the providing, God. You know, it is a need that's being provided. The heart has to be in the right place. We need to be humble before him and all kinds of. And what's the purpose?
That he might be glorified.
That he would be glorified. That he would get honor. Yeah. That he would get praise.
Amen.
Don't you just love it?
It's great.
Huh? There's this diversity throughout the Old and New Testament of various situations and people and everything else. And yet the theme is so clear.
The glory.
I love and that's the purpose.
It's all about him, not about us.
Yeah. And we get to glorify him.
Yeah.
That's really neat.
We get to think about it. It's incredible.
It is, I mean, that he uses us, you know, to accomplish that heavenly purpose. Oh, that's my.
And you know it takes him to do it.
Oh, yes. Well,
that's right.
And for those that are his, my personal experience is that he makes sure that I'm in that place.
Yes.
So there is no question that Sandra did it.
Yeah, he makes us to will to do his good pleasure.
Yes.
Right.
It's not even in us to do that.
Yes, to work into will. That's Acts 17. I think 27. I'm not positive about it. But
praise God.
Well, thank you. That was a powerful study.
Amen.
Yeah, wait till you see the one for next week.
Yeah.
I never think it can get better, and it always does.
I know. It's amazing.
Well, don't you think that's because it's getting richer and richer on what we're building on top of?
Yep.
I mean, for example, how many years, I've been a believer for more than 35 years, and how many times have I thought about that word endurance as I did last week, only when we were together, and I thought, endurance here is a byproduct of effort and, you know, God's work in our lives. I wonder if it's the same as hupomene, perseverance that we studied, you know, one other time. And sure enough, it is.
And now every time we see the word endure, we wonder.
I
know.
I know. It's exciting.
It is exciting.
Exciting. Okay. Well, we'll close in prayer, but I want to pass out the lessons for next week.
So, thank you.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you one for Nikki, whether she comes or not.
And well,
there's a bonus. A bonus.
Yes. Well, yes, you can look at that and see there's a bonus at the end. And I'm explaining the bonus to you, right? There were too many verses.
I think that was it. She couldn't make up her mind.
It would be too much. It would be too much homework and everything. And I thought, well, but some people might want to do it or whatever. Okay, well, for those that have time and effort, you know, that and energy to put into it, there's some there in the Psalms that you can use to help you get a fuller understanding of the word, which I'm not telling.
Okay.
Ah, thank you. The first one is in Exodus. Okay. So we will now close in prayer.